So I grew up steeped in science fiction. This was in the 70s and the 80s, and I'm sure I was one of the few kids who knew all the words to that cheesy theme song to Buck Rogers. I was going to go drink at the Mos Eisley Cantina. I actually had the blueprints to the Battlestar Galactica. I wanted to serve on the Battlestar Galactica. Every episode of Doctor Who, loved Doctor Who. I loved his battles. I loved watching him prevail. So everything for me was science fiction. And that formed the bulwark of my understanding of the world. That was my lens. Shortly after that, flip, I'm a father. So the years go by somehow, suddenly I'm a father. One day I'm not a father, the next day I am. So there's no manual on how to do this. So I have to ask, well, what does one do to figure out how to raise a child, raise a daughter? What you do is you fall back on the stories that you've come to understand, right? So for some people, those are the stories of their families, and for some people, it's their religious texts. Well, for me, it was my autographed copy of Fahrenheit 451 and my autographed copy of The Martian Chronicles and all of the TV shows and movies and books that I'd read and reread over and over again. And so finally, I said, you know, this is how I'm going to help her understand the world. Because I looked at this egalitarian glowing world of the Federation, you know, and I looked at this teenage princess leading a multicultural, multi-species rebellion against these fascists. And I looked at adventure and I looked at people venturing out and I saw vision and I saw justice, right? And I saw adventure, and I said, this is what I want to give her. And the best way to do that, I decided, was to write it for her. I'm going to write a story, write a science fiction novel for my daughter. Why not? Okay. So it's going to have the ethos of all the things I want her to understand, the things I've learned from science fiction. That's great. So I sat down with my little laptop and I started going. And my vision was this was going to be just a gift from dad, right? So it was going to be steampunk. I decided I'd fallen in love with steampunk. It's going to have welders, goggles, and airships, and monsters, and missions. It's going to have, you know, this kind of clunky, slightly sleek, slightly awkward technology. Great. You know, I was going to be able to show, this was important to me, show a struggle. There had to be some sort of struggle against a larger power. There had to be resourcefulness, you know. And most of all, though, I wanted it to be gynocentric. I wanted it to be about women and girls solving problems, right? I wanted the self-rescuing princesses, and I wanted women coming together to help be the heroes of the situation, to stop the threat, to be the champion of culture, that sort of thing. That meant a lot to me. I wanted her to have that. Okay, so I started into it. Started creating my set of characters. You know, my main character was biracial and there was neurodiversity in it and there were LGBTQ plus characters. And I was like, I can't wait to give this to her. You know, it just had that vision, that promise that I saw in science fiction for so many years, right? And the good guys looked like her life. I thought, great, you know, this is how I want to proceed. And I'm plinking away on it on my little laptop. I've been through several laptops since I started the story. So I'm plinking away with my laptop. And I've got the news on. This is literally sitting on my sofa one evening with the news going, and I'm plinking away. And I heard myself echo what just came through the news feed. Grab her by the what? He said he could grab women by what? And get away with it because he was a star? And something sank in me. Something sank in me because, see, I was thinking as I was writing this, well, this is just a gift from dad. She'll have the Hunger Games. She'll have this story, that story. You know, this is maybe a little bit redundant, but it's just going to be a gift. And I remember thinking, well, you know, she's growing up in a world. where women and girls are going to be embraced for what they can do, for their strength and their brilliance. And then my patina of male privilege slid away in that moment. And I was pained and I was scared. And I realized that the evil empire, even though we'd blown up the Death Star once or twice, was still out there. And I looked at her and I felt a type of fear and a type of rage. And then I fell back on what my heroes always did. My fingers started moving, I kid you not, with even more fervor and even a fury, because now it had gone from a gift to a mission. The characters in that story were more than just concepts. They were something I'm going to teach my daughter how to move forward in a world that I have to admit I didn't realize was going to be so difficult for her. And my fingers were going and my vision was expanding, and I literally felt it rising in me. Those neurodiverse, biracial characters, those characters that show diversity and that were on a mission against that hegemonic empire were real. They were going to be a guiding force for her. They were going to be a way that I would teach her. They were going to be something that she could use to go into the world. It's been years now and I'm pulling it together. It's ready. I'm editing. And she's older, and soon she'll be ready for me to hand it to her, because I had to come to the realization that the evil empire is real, but there are still powerful, amazing, beautiful princesses that will lead them to victory if they're just given the right science fiction. Because I love her very much. Thank you.